Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for November 25th. It's brought to you in part by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and tonight, a Japan Baseball Weekly first, a solo flight. My buddy Jim is scrambling to get back to Japan from the United States. Hope to see you soon, bud. So that means it's just me, and that means it's going to be a quick show. On it, I've got an exclusive interview with super agent Don Nomura, who took time out of his busy schedule to talk to us. And I'll touch on a couple quick news items, and it should be quick and painless. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, this is also a podcast first for me, in that I have a cold. It's my first cold in many years, so please excuse the nasally or Barbara Streisand kind of sound that's coming out of my mouth. Also, during the interview with Don, a truck decided to drive closely by the window outside, so the interview has one of the questions drowned out. So what I've done is I've added a cue to tip you off that this is where the question occurred, and I just talked about what the question is. I cut the noisy part out since it was just too hard to hear the interview. Now, I sat down with Don Nomura on Wednesday, and we spoke by phone. And basically, I wanted to ask him about the posting system, but I also wanted to ask him some other things. But by the time we got off the posting situation and the time had gone by, and I wanted to keep it short, I promised him 15 minutes. He gave me 20. So that was very nice of him, and we appreciate it. And so you might know Don Nomura. Many of you have heard his name. He helped Hideo Nomo get to the States eventually and play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's handled a lot of stars making the move, and let's just take a listen and see how he handled this interview.
Our very special guest this week is Don Nomura. We thank him for taking the time to join us. Thank you very much.
A pleasure.
All right, so now we want to get right into it. I know you don't have much time. Tell me, what do you think is the most important thing? Is it for the players to have freedom for movement in terms of transferring or moving to other teams, or is it that they want to make money?
Time
for any particular thing. Now, what about the level of players in NPB, maybe the top echelon of players in NPB compared to major league players?
The
upper echelon, the upper echelon of player here in Japan can move over and play maybe every day in the major leagues. I think so too. It just seems really strange that there has been nothing in place for so long. Obviously, this posting system was flawed from the beginning. Now, was it too flawed for them to implement in the first place? Why was that?
You're only giving a player a exclusive negotiating right that he's bound to only deal with one club, and if you don't get the deal done, you're sent back home. So that's you get penalized for not agreeing to a contract. And obviously, with a one-way street, the club does not have to give what the player is actually worth. So it takes away the freedom from the player by saying that I want to go to the States. So it's kind of, you're exchanging your desire for a one-way street, but, you know, it's actually not, to me, it is not fair.
So why did they agree to it in the first place?
Well, several occasions, starting from Hideo Nomo, Alfonso Soriano, Maeda, Hideki Labu, and they had to come up with something where NPB was not losing out on making money from the players that they sent over to the States.
Well, I mean, it just seems kind of odd because some of the guys want to move after maybe 7 or 8 years. If they just wait one more season, they'd be able to move without worrying about where they have to go and making a deal and being trapped in a situation that they don't want to be in.
Well, every year is very important for players. Earlier you go, the younger you are, there's more opportunities, better chance. Quicker you go, longer you can play in the States. So every year it really goes against the lifetime of baseball players. So I think mentally players want to go over there earlier rather than wait till 9 years if there's a way to get over there. Again, injury is, you know, another thing that players think about. If I get injured my final year, what's going to happen? I might have to stay in Japan another extra year. So there's a lot of negative things that can happen. Taking a risk of staying in Japan for another year. And there has been a player like pitcher Mr. Ishii with the Yakult Swallows.
Right.
Extended another year by staying in Japan. He got hurt and really actually ended his career. He's also left-handed Ishii. He was a reliever, a closer for Yakult Swallows.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I remember him. I'll look it up and make sure I get his name right.
Yeah, he was one of the top very hard.
Right, okay, so I mean, so it's really about, I guess it's really about the right then, more so than the money, because it seems like the MLB teams have been paying some astronomical prices for some of these guys, and then they end up saying, hey, you know, we don't know if these guys are going to be successful or not. What's
you look at the draft, it's the same way. You're drafting a high school, college kid, you pay them a lot of money, you go out and sign free agents, it's the same thing. And, you know, there's always a risk factor that players may get hurt, may not get hurt, may pan out, may not pan out.
Right.
But those are the risks, you know, all the clubs understand. So they're paying what the players are worth out there on the market.
I agree. I mean, obviously they have to give these teams in Japan some compensation because they're taking an upper echelon player from Japan. I mean, it's not like they can get it from free.
Well, how come not free? Well, how come are they chained for 9 years?
Right. I mean, you know, no.
My biggest problem in Japanese baseball is reservation clause has always been a problem in baseball. For this posting thing, then there's no trigger. The Players Association here had not negotiated anything with the ownership about putting a trigger that brings or that gets a player to a stage where he wants to get posted.
Right.
So that's the battle for the players, saying that I want to get posted. Club keeps saying, no, we can't, we can't, we can't. But if there's a trigger that makes a player that, you know, who's, and this is not two old players, but if that wants to really go to the States, but there's a trigger that lets a player get posted, then I think we're more on a level playing field.
And what could be a possible trigger?
I put some thought into it, but like every 60th player gets read to be posted if he wants to get posted. If he passes that opportunity up, he's going to wait for the next free agency.
Okay, so a six-year plan then, basically.
Yeah, 6-year plan. You have full 6 years, and you have the right to be posted. You can tell the club, I want to get posted to the States. Assuming he's got a good season, then he gets posted. If he doesn't, then, you know, he's got to take the other road out.
Well, I mean, now let's get into this with the Players Association then, because the Players Association okayed the agreement for the new system that NPB and MLB had agreed to, but then just said just for 2 years. Now, can we assume that the Players Association is a little bit weak here?
Oh, the Japanese Players Association is absolutely weak. There's no question about it.
In what ways? Are they not together? Are they don't have a plan? They don't have. They go up to the batter's box?
Well, I don't know if they have a plan, but obviously they're not winning in any labor many years. You look at the player's minimum salary, it hasn't changed in about 15 years. So you can say that the association hasn't really done much for the players.
Is the minimum salary not changing? Is that on the players, or is it on their agents, or is it on teams? Who's that on?
The minimum salary of Major League Japanese player, I don't think has really changed much this past 20 years. But when you look at Major League Baseball, 20 years ago, minimum salary was $100,000, and now it's like $500,000.
So is that on the players here? Is it on the? I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but is it on agents like me? I mean, who's that on? Is it really the players' fault that their minimum salary is the same?
When you have a union, that means you have the right to negotiate as a group,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you try to get. You try to form a labor contract with the ownership. Collective bargaining is what they do in the United States, and
right.
I'm sure a lot of the big companies have collective bargaining with their employees. If baseball doesn't have collective bargaining, then there's no sense of having a union.
Right.
So, in other words, they're not unionized. They're not one. They're all over the place.
Okay. That's it.
So I think there's needed to be more education to the players about labor, about what their worth, what their rights are, and what they have to fight for, not only for themselves but for the next generation.
Is that something you can help them do? Who can get in there and do that for them?
Well, they have two lawyers that they hired, so I'm sure they know. I can't tell you who should do it and who shouldn't do it, but that should be the way union labors are.
Right. All right, now, obviously, there was an agreement in place between NPB and MLB, and on the MLB side, they pulled the offer from the table on the new system, and everybody was at least in agreement, on a temporary basis. So, can we assume maybe that things on the MLB side are a little bit strange, that they're not all together on their side as well? Yeah, but that didn't make sense to me because it was Major League Baseball that was complaining about the prices for these players through the posting system being astronomical. Finally, they got something where the prices would be at least reduced a little bit, and still they pulled the offer. So that didn't make sense to me. It didn't seem logical.
Well, they pulled it because the NPB was late in responding, which gave MLB a little more time to rethink about what the original offer was.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, perhaps they're not in agreement on that side as well. I don't know. I see problems everywhere.
Like what?
Just the problems on both sides that Major League Baseball says it doesn't want to pay. And I understand that when you look at Daisuke Matsuzaka, when you look at Kei Igawa, those players probably didn't give them exactly the value that they thought that the $100 million that they paid, at least for Matsuzaka, was going to give them. So,
well, Boston won World Series Matsuzaka, so I can't really, you can't discount what he has done for that club on that particular, years. Without him, they may not have reached the World Series.
I guess.
When you look at other players like Saito, they didn't pay anything for him, and look how much, he has contributed to Major League Baseball.
Certainly. The low-budget teams don't get to participate at all. And so,
yeah, I think one of the major arguments was the small market, big market issue with the posting was the posting fee did not go towards the luxury tax for the salary, which means that big market club can pay $50-60 million
Exactly.
And that money does not get counted as a luxury tax, which, you know, a small market team survives on.
Right.
And I think that was a major issue. But I think it's going to come down to probably by being late on the answer, which gives opportunity to renegotiate everything. Major League Baseball would probably come back with same kind of system, except for the payment should be maybe not in one lump sum, but maybe divided throughout the lifetime of the contract. So if a player gets, let's say a player signs a $120 million 6-year contract,
mm-hmm.
and the posting fee was $60
million, right.
then the club, rather than paying $60 million at one time, they would get to pay out in 6 years.
I see.
$10 million a year.
Right, that would be easier on the team for sure.
Easier on the team, and I think that's what it's going to come down to by, you know, Japanese team not answering on a timely basis.
All right.
At this point, I asked him about the fiasco that went down with Hisashi Iwakuma and asked him to walk us through that process of him not being able to work out a deal with the Oakland A's and having to come back to Japan.
Who was supposed to pay him out of money if the player was be contracted, but it seems like, it's a one-way street. Take it or leave it. If you don't like the deal, then, you know, you're back home pitching another year in Japan.
Right.
So that's the road we took. If we couldn't get what we wanted, what he's worth out there, then there's really no sense of signing with Major League Baseball. And this is, you know, it may sound like it's only money, but it's not only money because it's also protecting the player's right as well as the value of coming over here.
Right. And I also know, I mean, obviously, in recent years it's been pitchers only, with the exception of Nakajima. It's been pitchers only who have been going over on a regular basis, and pitchers get injured. It's just part of what happens. And
players get injured as well, too.
Yeah.
Iwamura was injured when he played over here.
Right. Right. So, I mean, yeah, I know they get injured, and it's hard. It's probably, I would say, you know, the number of injuries for pitchers and the time it takes to come back from major injuries is different. But, yeah, everybody gets injured. That's a risk everybody takes, obviously, playing in this. They say it's a non-contact sport, so I believe them. But there's a lot of contact at the bases and especially at home plate. But getting back to the transfer situation, what do you think would be a fair way for players to transfer or for teams to acquire Japanese players given the existing parameters for international free agency?
Obviously, you know, I'm looking from a player standpoint.
Right.
If there's a system like posting, I still feel that top 3 teams or top 4 teams or whatever can negotiate with the player. There at least has a choice and a leverage to negotiate a good contract for him.
Mm-hmm.
That would be ideal. Obviously, the best one is to reduce the free agency from 9 to 6, keep the same as in the United States. The player can live to the first up to 6 years as a free agent. The Americans, I just say Americans based on Major League Baseball.
Right.
They're all free agent after 6 years of Major League service, so why not the Japanese League? That's what I think. The same playing field, Japanese players after 6 years can go back to the States. Or not back to the States, can go to the States.
Right. Wow, why is this such a problem for MPB players and MLB to work out a deal here? I know it's a difficult problem.
Well, one thing is because of the CBA between the Ownership and Players Association about what we talked about, the luxury tax, that reopened till 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the small market clubs are really complaining about big league team going out and spending millions of dollars on hosting a player. And so they have no chance to even be in that race.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, one problem Major League Baseball within the ownerships are basically arguing about. But the actual posting system expired last year, and it's been almost year and a half which posting was not placed. So I don't know what they were negotiating. I have no idea what took so long, for a year and a half, what they were doing, what they were negotiating, and so forth. They sure had enough time to come up with a formula, but
yeah.
what it came down to was, you know, what they have discussed the last few weeks.
Which is still up in the air since they haven't come to an agreement.
It's average of the top bidder and the second bidder is what the top bidder is going to pay.
Right. We'll see how it works out. I hope it works out soon. Obviously, with Ma Kuhn, he's actually sitting in limbo. He really actually is. It's really unfair that it's come down to this point in the year and there's still no agreement, and then they thought they had an agreement and it was pulled, and they're going to come back soon. I know they have the MLB side is going to come back with a revised offer and probably another time limit. So I hope they
can. It's not going to benefit the team, Japanese club.
Certainly.
I can say that. Yeah. If they, you know, if they don't answer in a timely manner, you know, they get penalized for it. So the MLB pulled out of the original one, they're going to come back and try to, you know, force another new contract. And if they don't agree to that, then there's not going to be a contract.
Yeah. It'll be pretty sad. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. Thank you very much for your time and your insight, and we'll see how this plays out. All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right, Don, thank you again so much for taking your valuable time out of your busy schedule and sitting down and talking to us. I really appreciate it. Geez, we hit on so many topics, I don't even really know where to start, but I guess the beginning of his statements will probably be the best. It's no surprise to me that he said the level of players is competitive in Japan. Obviously, he thinks so because he's making a living in part by sending some of those guys to the States. Now, I'm not sure about 10 or 15 guys making it on an everyday Major League roster. I'd like to name some of them, but I don't think I could see 10 or 15. But I know a lot of guys probably think they could play as regulars right now, and they certainly want to be in that position to try when they do get to that position. The pitcher he was talking about, the Yakult pitcher, was Hirotoshi Ishii, who pitched for the Swallows from 1996 to 2011. And I do have faint memories of him, especially when I could barely speak Japanese and was trying to learn and trying to follow baseball as well. So I remember that situation, but I don't know the keys to it. I'm sure Jim is probably, and we really miss you, buddy. Hurry back home. He's probably got some stories about Mr. Ishii and how he wanted to go over and how he got injured, and he could probably explain that situation. Perhaps we'll spend a little bit of time talking about it next week when we do a show. Hopefully he'll be ready to go next week. But it makes sense that Nomura is so sensitive to injury concerns of the players. Now, I mean, I said pitchers get injured a lot because we know that the guys throwing the ball 100 times a game get injured a lot easier or a lot more often than guys who are just standing around waiting for the ball to be hit to them. But he's right. I mean, guys do get hurt. I remember Iwamura, as he said, tearing up his knee in the States. And in part, I think that was because they had moved him from third base and put him in the middle of the infield. And it was a big change of position for him. I think he got, I don't remember exactly how he got hurt, but I know he had a bad wheel. So, you know, months of rehab for pitchers. You know, a lot of times it's Tommy John surgery, which means at least a year. The point is that players and their agents understand the rigors of the season and what the body goes through. So Don is pointing out that it's a major issue or a major concern for any player who wants to go over to the States. Now, he talked about the trigger, and that really intrigued me because I thought, you know, especially because he said 6 years, I thought that was kind of soon. I mean, if you think about it, you have an investment here, and if you look at it in terms of a college player, if you go to college, the first 2 years are pretty much throwaway. I mean, you don't get very much out of that player. Even if they were to play on the first team, you probably wouldn't get that much out of them. Look at Shohei Ohtani. He played fairly well, but perhaps if he was an everyday player with the Fighters, they'd have gotten more out of him. Or if he was a full-time pitcher, they would have gotten more out of him. Or if they used him in relief more often, they would have gotten more out of him. Anyway, those first 2 years are very tough. And then when guys start to figure things out, they mature physically, they get better. Those next 2 years, maybe you can get some production out of them, but perhaps they're going to struggle. Perhaps they're going to stay the same. And then, considering maybe they had finished the four-year period, that would be the college period, and now you have these 2 years, and you want to enjoy the fruits of that labor. You've invested a lot in a player at this point, and the player is in his prime. And, you know, I don't think 2 years is enough of a dividend on a player who you've invested that much time and work into. So I think 6 years is a little soon, but perhaps if it's about players' rights. He said it early on in the interview. He said it's about the rights more than the money. They want both. They want to be paid for their ability, but they also want the right to change teams or to have freedom, to have flexibility. And I understand that. But the other thing for me is that, hey, you know, if I could be playing baseball or basketball or something, I'd be doing it too. And I don't think that, you know, unless you're in a lose-lose situation, which is you're with a team that doesn't have a future and you're tied up for 10 years, I still don't think it's a bad situation to have a job like that. So I'm just not sure that I agree that you should be able to have that much freedom to leave teams, especially when they give you signing bonuses when you join the club, and they invest a lot of time in teaching you the game and making you a professional. I'm not sure that I think it's fair for the club either to invest that much and then see you leave. So I'm not sure that 6 years is the right figure, but they don't need the international clause in the agreement. I think they could do away with that and just let players be free agents when they become free agents, whether it's domestically or internationally. I don't see a reason to put a limitation on it. And you know, a trigger can be that a player wants to notify a team that he's interested in going, and then they can start negotiating, you know, perhaps after the 6 year mark, and decide when's a good time for the player to make his move. And in this case, I mean, we all saw what Masahiro Tanaka did for the Rakuten Eagles. We know he's ready to, for lack of a better phrase, graduate and move on to the major leagues. It's the perfect time for him in his career. It's just a matter of getting the nuts and bolts done so he can make the move. I'm sure the team wants to let him go over there. Now, Don talked about the Players Association and how it's toothless and punchless, and someone has to take a stand. I mean, the MPBA agreed to this new posting system, but only for 2 years. Now, the front man for this is Mr. Matsubara, and you know, he came on TV and said right away early on in this process that This was not all about Ma-Kun and his move to the States, that it was about being for the greater good, and other players in the future want to move. And then they came back and they said, well, we'll agree to this new hosting system that the major leagues and NPB had already agreed on recently, only for 2 years. So this condition, the stipulation of 2 years, I think it seems like if you look at the flow of things, it seemed like that was the turning point. And that's when the MLB officials backed away from the bargaining table. But I think that wasn't. I think, of course, you know, the Players Association here rushed it through and probably could have had a better deal if they'd have waited and hung on and negotiated longer. Leadership is obviously an issue with the Players Association. Obviously, Don doesn't know what to do about it, and I can't tell him what to do either. I didn't realize that the minimum salary hadn't changed in so long. I didn't realize that they haven't been able to negotiate this international free agency situation or their regular free agency situation. So they need to take a stand. I know that there was a strike early on in the aughts, and it really seemed to make NPB move and get on its feet and get on its toes. So maybe something like that, again, happening is what has to happen before NPB says, you know what, these guys, they do have a spine. You know, we do need to listen to what they're saying. We do have to bargain with them. And obviously, this limited time offer was kind of silly, but that they agreed to it. So it seems to me, if you look at things about the posting system, that it's not an issue about what happened with the MPB side. There seems to be a little bit of friction going on the MLB side. And that's the part that it's got to irk these players, especially Makun, who's looking to move over right now. I think the reason that you back away from the table is because it's the big market teams versus the small market teams, and it's the battle there. And if you remember, when Hideki Irabu went to the United States, the big issue in the first place was that he was sold to the Padres, and they had a deal, and no other teams got to participate. And so these big market and low market, or small budget and high budget teams, are fighting with each other. As Nomura said, if you get that luxury tax to include the posting fee, that changes things. You know, these big market teams can't lay a bunch of money down and drive the price up. And look, the reason that the whole posting system is going to be changed in the first place is because the major leagues have said that they've been paying too much money for the elite players. Well, duh. I mean, you're going to have to pay some money to get some elite players. We don't know what they're going to do, just like Don said. But that's what it, I mean, that's the cost. That's the cost of business. If you want these guys, you know, they're proven, they're professionals. You basically know what you're going to get in terms of their ability. You don't know how it's going to pan out in terms of wins and losses, but you know what they can and can't do. So, you know, you got to lay the money down. So I think it's more on their side, and that's why we're stuck in an impasse. And I think they have to work out exactly what they want, and then they can bring another plan to NPB. I heard someone say, one of the NPB officials recently say that they think it won't be until mid-December when they get this thing settled, maybe a little bit later. So we'll see how that goes. Now, the collective bargaining situation that Don Nomura talked about, and the fact that they're not bargaining, I don't really see when that's going to change. So, but I can tell you this. And I said that it's mostly pitchers who have been moving over to the States in recent years, and I left out Norichika Aoki, who went to the Milwaukee Brewers and has played well the past two seasons over there, and Hiroyuki Nakajima, who we just didn't hear basically a peep from, who went to the Oakland A's. So they're guys over here. I like the wording Don used, of chained up for 9 years, but that pretty much tells you how players feel, and hopefully they can get it all worked out and not let the big money teams corner the market, because I would like to see some Japanese players like go to a Kansas City, go to a San Diego, the other thing is, you look at some of the teams that were in the playoffs this year. You had Pittsburgh, you had St. Louis, you had Detroit. This is the playoffs in the United States. You had the Tampa Bay Rays. You had the Cleveland Indians in a playoff or a play-in game. You had a lot of teams that they're one real close, one player away maybe from making a big impact, or they're one major player away from making a big impact. And if they could participate in these negotiations for a top player from Japan, that's a good outlet for them. Even though they don't want to lay down a lot of money, let's say Kenta Maeda or somebody went to one of those teams, that's a game changer for those teams. So hopefully they can participate. We can have more parity. We don't want just the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the rich teams to grab up all the talent, although I'd love to see Makun in a Dodger uniform, but we'll have to see how that goes. Now, our friend Claudio in Toronto posted a posting system of his own that he devised on the Facebook page, and I thought it was basically pretty good. It gave the player more control by choosing from the top three bids to negotiate with, and I thought that was a really good idea. And I also came up with my own idea, which was, hey, set a minimum ante for the posting system, and then let's say it's $10 million, and then for example, and then all the teams that are interested in bidding participate in a lottery, and all the negotiating order is set, and the first team that comes to an agreement with the player signs him. And that's it. And if he goes all the way through all the teams and wants to go back and negotiate with another team in that group, then the player can. Since the all teams have had a shot, somebody can maybe increase their offer or reduce, you know, he can pick the best offer from all the above. And that way, everybody gets to participate. The player's probably happy because they're going to get the best deal for them. It still doesn't eliminate the fact that big money teams can play, can come up with can outbid some of the other teams if the ball gets to their court. But, you know, we'll see. Perhaps somebody can make them a deal. If a team that has another Japanese player on it, like the Texas Rangers, that would be an attractive place for Makoon, actually, I think, because he's got a guy who's pitching, so it's the same position. He's pitching in the park. He can help him learn the batters. It'd be a good situation for him, so why wouldn't he want to go to the Rangers? I don't see a problem with it. So that's my idea. I don't know what we can do to improve the whole situation. I just hope it gets improved. I think the fans here in Japan look at it in two ways. One is that they're losing a very productive and probably very popular player, and they don't want to see him go. The fact that the team gets a lot of money doesn't really help them that much, unless the team invested right back into the ballpark into something that person uses. And if they do that, then and that helps, that directly is parlayed to the fan, then the fan's going to be happy. Still, what fans care most about is wins. They want to see their teams win, and I'm with them. Thanks again, Don. I really appreciate it. Perhaps we'll touch on this topic again when Jing is back, and we'll probably talk about it some more when the posting system is finally agreed upon and we're able to see what team Makoon goes to, or if he's going to have to go back to the Rakuten Eagles for next season. All right, some news and notes. Makoon garnered all 228 votes in the best nine, or I like to call it the all PL or all CL voting. So in essence, he pitched a shutout without even taking the mound. He shut out the rest of the pitchers in the Pacific League. And I guess you had to expect that because the Eagles had the most players selected in either league. They had four. Joining Makoon was second baseman Kazuya Fujita, and then third baseman Casey McGee, and catcher Motohiro Shima. So I was kind of surprised that Ginji Akaminai didn't get it, but he could have. I guess they count defense a little bit more than than we're used to. Now, I know the Hanshin Tigers also signed a South Korean pitcher, the all-time saves leader in Oh Seung-hwang. And I remember the last time a great reliever, and I'm not talking about Lim Chang-young, who pitched for the Swallows. I'm talking about a different guy named Son Don-yo. And he came to Japan in the late 90s. And was pretty much a disaster for the Chunichi Dragons. He had some great numbers. This guy looked like he was so untouchable that nobody had ever gotten a hit off him ever. And he was pretty much, I called him the fireman, in that he kept starting fires. And there was nobody there to put him out. So we'll see how that works out. I know the Tigers have been, obviously, we had Randy Messenger on this past season, and he pretty much slid Mr. Kubo under the bus and backed up over him. Talking about the way that the pitchers really weren't, the starters really weren't all that confident with him on the mound, perhaps. Maybe that's what he was intimating. But, yeah, they've needed somebody. You know, obviously, they lost Kyuji Fujikawa, who went to the Chicago Cubs and then promptly got injured. And, obviously, the back of the bullpen has been a revolving door. Hopefully, they can get that solved. So that looks like it might be a good move for them. We'll have to see. All right, there were no questions this week. We've got the MVP voting done. It's coming out soon, so we can all chime in on that vote. Please send your rants to yakyujohn@gmail.com. And please, please make some of them MP3s so everyone can hear you rant, because I'm sure they're tired of hearing me rant. I've been ranting pretty much since we started the podcast about the MVPs, so... Well, we can talk about it next time, and when Jim comes back, we missed you, buddy. Thanks for listening all the way through, guys, and we'll see you next week. Enjoy your off-season roster moves.